You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Well, today we're continuing the series that we've been in for the past few weeks called Next Level Relationships. We're talking about taking our relationships to the next level. We want to see our relationships get stronger, get better. We want to get along with people. We want our relationships to be more fulfilling. Is anybody getting anything out of this series? Is this helping anybody? It's helping me because I'm preaching to myself every week. So if you're getting something out of it, that's bonus, but I hope it's helping you and I hope you're seeing some improvement in your relationships. Today, I want to talk to you about a topic that I really believe has the capacity to not only change your relationships, but to change your life. It can literally affect your well-being, your mind, your heart, the condition of your soul. It's that important because I want to talk to you today about forgiveness. Forgiveness, such a crucial topic, so important for our relationships, so important for the condition of our hearts. Most of you know that I've got three boys, Aaron, Michael, and Nicholas, seventh grade, first grade, and in preschool. And just this past week, my middle son, Michael, he was complaining because his little brother, Nicholas, took his iPad without asking him and deleted some stuff off of it. And he was all upset. And when my kids come to me and complain about things like this, I like to remind them, we didn't even have iPads when I was a kid. I didn't even have an iPad a few years ago. These are first world problems. Get over it, kid. Okay? Any parents with me? Now, we did work through it, though, and, you know, of course, we told Nicholas, you know, you have your own, and you have your own toys, and you shouldn't take your brother's stuff without asking him. But it was also a teachable moment for Michael, because we wanted to teach him to forgive, right? And I had to remind him, hey, when you were little, you used to do the same thing to your older brother. You would take his stuff, you would mess up his drawings, and we had to teach your older brother to forgive you, so you have to do the same thing for your little brother. Now, we laugh at this, right? But the truth is, things don't change that much sometimes from childhood to adulthood. Like, we want people to forgive us, don't we? But we struggle to forgive other people at times, don't we? Come on, anybody in here, you would just be honest and admit you struggle to forgive certain difficult people in your life. I know I'm not the only person in this place. Let's all get right with Jesus today and just be honest in church. We struggle with this sometimes, don't we? And Jesus actually told a story about this, about someone who struggled to offer forgiveness to others. And we're going to look at it. We're going to go straight there this morning. Matthew chapter 18, the Gospel of Matthew. We're going to look at the parable of the unmerciful servant. If you've been around church any time, you've probably heard this story before. It's one of the most famous parables in the Bible. And Jesus talks about this very subject of forgiveness. So we're going to dive right into it. Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. This is what it says. Then Peter, the apostle Peter, came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Now, Peter was actually being a little generous here because commentators tell us that the rabbis of the time actually taught that you had to forgive someone up to three times. So here's Peter, you know, he thinks he's being really generous when it comes to Jesus and, you know, should I forgive people like up to seven times? Let's look at Jesus's response. Verse 22, Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Some manuscripts say 70 times seven. The point here is that Jesus is not putting a limit, a certain number, to the amount of times we have to forgive. In essence, he's saying to Peter, you have to forgive as many times as it takes, right? As many times as someone needs forgiveness, you have to forgive them. And then Jesus launches into a story, into a parable. Verse 23, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Now stop there. Some translations you might be reading from say 10,000 talents. That's closer to the original language. A talent was equal to 20 years worth of a day laborer's wages. 20 years worth, and this guy owed 10,000 of those units, 10,000 talents to the king. Jesus is using hyperbole here. Basically, he's saying this was an insurmountable sum. Nobody could in reality actually rack up that much debt to the king. It was an absurd amount of money. That's the point. Okay? Look at this, verse 25. Since he was not able to pay, obviously, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children, all that he had, be sold to repay the debt. That's just the way it worked in ancient times. If you couldn't repay a loan, somebody could have you thrown in prison, sold off as a slave, whatever. It was harsh times, but that was the reality of the times. Verse 26, at this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. Verse 27, the servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. Wow, that's amazing. You got to stop and just let that hit you for a moment. Like, can you imagine getting an envelope in the mail and you open it and the mortgage company says, good news, we just want to let you know that your mortgage has been forgiven. You don't have to pay it back. Okay, some of you young professionals in here, can you imagine the company that's servicing your student loans sends you a notice and says, your student loans are forgiven. Can I get an amen, somebody? Somebody's like, preach, pastor, come on. We're about to have revival up in here today. Yes, you got to get in touch with this feeling, right? Like, what a feeling of joy to have this mountain of debt forgiven. Now, look at what happened, verse 28. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. In the original language, this is a denarius. A denarius was the payment for a day laborer's day's worth of wages. Okay, so this was nothing compared to the mountain of debt that he owed the king, but still this was 100 days worth of labor, still a decent amount. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. Now turn to somebody and say, that's messed up. That is messed up, right? His fellow servants fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay back the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how your heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Wow. That's challenging, isn't it? Don't get mad at me. Jesus said it. Some challenging words this morning, church. I think it's safe to say that we all know that forgiveness is the right thing, right? I think most of us would say, yeah, I know that to forgive someone, that's something I should do as a Christian. I know that's the right thing to do. I mean, very early on from kids, just like I mentioned before, we're taught to forgive, right? Playing on the playground, you're taught to forgive by your teachers, right? Teacher comes over and says, now you have to apologize to that other kid because you hurt them. And they teach the other kid, you got to accept their apology. This is what we do, right? We teach kids to forgive. I don't know about you. When I was a kid, my parents used to make us like hug and make up right after a fight. So I had to hug my brother, right? I would hug him and whisper in his ear, I hate you. And then I'd smile at my mom, and you know, like everything was good. You did the same thing, didn't you, right? Did your parents make you do that? You had to hug. You weren't over it yet, but you had to make up and forgive. And, you know, we know this is the right thing, right? Like, we know it's the best thing. We know it's good for us. We know morally it's the right thing to do. I think the problem is there's like two categories of offenses. There's the one category of offenses that we have the human capacity to forgive. You know, the everyday offenses, right? The things that we can overlook and we can let go of. We can let go of those kind of offenses. But then there's this other category of offenses that are in the unforgivable category. We don't have the capacity, the natural capacity to forgive that person. We're not able to forgive. Deep down, we find it hard to forgive certain people. There are certain people we say, but they don't deserve my forgiveness. Pastor, you understand what they did to me. Like, I have a right to be upset. Like, they owe me. Things should not have gone down that way. It was wrong. And it's really hard for you to forgive that offense or to forgive that person. It reminds me of that Taylor Swift song from a couple years ago. You remember that hit song, Bad Blood? You made a really deep cut. You remember the song? And now we got Bad Blood. That song's gonna be stuck in your head now, isn't it? It was stuck in my head like all week. I was walking around humming that song. But it's like that, right? There are certain people that are in this category of bad blood, right? Like they're hard to forgive. What they did, it's so fresh. What they did was so wrong. Like when you see that person, when you think about the offense, when you think about what they did, it makes your blood run cold. And they're in that like bad blood, unforgivable category. As we look back at the story, we realize that the king obviously represents God, our heavenly Father, right? And we're just like that servant. But we needed the debt, the mountain of the debt of our sins forgiven. And that's what God did for us in his graciousness, by his love, by his mercy. He gave his one and only son, Jesus Christ, for us, went to the cross, paid for our sins so that we could be forgiven. We could be released from the debt and made whole. Well, this is our story, right? This is our story. We are the servant who needed forgiveness. And here's what Jesus is saying. Because the Father has been so gracious to you, you should have capacity to go out and forgive others who offend you. You should have some capacity to extend forgiveness, to extend grace to others, because look at how rich God has been towards you in his mercy. Think about how big the mountain of your debt and your sin was, and God forgave you. I don't know about you, but it helps me to think about this, because I still sin. I still mess up. The scripture says God's mercies are made new every morning. I don't know about you, but I need those mercies every day. Are you with me? And so it helps me to think about, you know, how big the mountain of my debt was that God canceled. And so what Jesus is showing us is that we can only forgive because of how much we've been forgiven. We can extend grace to others because God has extended grace to us. Remember week one, right? The shovel and the spoon, right? God has shoveled out his mercy and grace over our lives, and yet we're tempted to spoon it out to others. Well, this is essentially the same message, but in reverse. It's that God has forgiven us this mountain of debt, and yet we struggle to forgive these offenses that other human beings do to us, and yet God has forgiven so much. Now, here's the idea. The big idea is this, that grace is the currency of forgiveness. Grace is the currency of forgiveness. It's all about grace. Do you have enough grace in the bank to cover the debt that person owed you? Do you have enough grace? Do you have, are you rich enough in grace to be able to extend it to someone else when there's a deficit, when they owe you and they can't even pay you back? That's the idea today. Grace is the currency of forgiveness. It's about grace. The main point of the story is not just that God is going to throw you in jail, throw you in hell, and torture you if you don't forgive somebody. Although Jesus gives us a stern warning here, right? How can your Father forgive you if you can't forgive someone else? And I think the truth is that we punish ourselves. We get a heart blockage to where we can't receive the forgiveness of God when we struggle to forgive someone else. That's the warning here. But no, the point of the story is that what people owe us pales in comparison to the debt that we owe God for our sins. We're so focused on what they did to us. We're so focused on that person, how they disappointed us, how they walked out on us, how they cheated us, how they backstabbed us. We're fixated on that amount, and we don't even realize it pales in comparison to the mountain of debt that God has forgiven. Our daily sins, year after year, God gave his son a debt that cost the Father his one and only son. Can you put a price tag on Jesus Christ? Can you put a price tag on the cross? Can you put a price tag on your salvation? You can't. You can't. It's the revelation of that truth, of just how well you've been loved, just how much you've been forgiven, just how much you've been released from, that gives us the ability, that expands our heart's capacity to forgive others. You know, sometimes I get frustrated with my boys because they tear up the house. You know, they break stuff, right? And they're rambunctious. And we bought a house this summer, and we're still working on something. There's still a few things I have to get to paint, right? And the other day, I'm looking at the walls, they're scratching the walls all up, and I'm like, I'm not even finished painting the house. Like, sometimes it feels like we bought a house for our kids just so they could destroy it. Anybody ever feel that way? But I'm reminded of how gracious and merciful my parents were to me growing up. I was one of four boys, and we broke everything. And they didn't kill us. And I was thinking about how when I was, I think, 19 years old, I was a, you know, grown up. I can't even make excuses for what I did. Me and my brother, my older brother, who was 8 years older than me, we were throwing the football around the house one time. Now, my mom had one rule about this growing up: don't throw the football in the house. And my brother must have thrown a bad pass. I don't remember the story so well, but it had to have been him, not me. But some kind of way, we knocked over my mom and dad's wedding china cabinet that was on top of their hutch. And we got over it just in time. Like, I ended up on one end of it. My brother was in the middle, and it was heavy. And we thought we had averted disaster until the last door all the way on the opposite end swung open. And we watched as plate by plate of my parents' wedding china rolled out and smashed on the floor. Yeah. And there was nothing we could do about it. And, well, we were too old to be killed or put up for adoption. So my parents had to forgive us, right? They let it go. It's amazing. I mean, they just forgave us. They ended up buying some new china years later. And so I'm reminded of that, that I have to extend grace to my kids, right? I have to extend forgiveness to them because that's what was extended to me. That's the lesson for today. That's the heart of this parable. It's grace. Grace is the game changer. It's the realization that we could never repay the debt of our sin, how much God has forgiven us. And it's getting a hold of that revelation that changes our hearts and gives us the ability to forgive. The great theologian C.S. Lewis put it this way: to be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you. That's how we do it. We can forgive it in others because God has forgiven it in us, and we could never picture our lives without God forgiving us. See, grace is the most powerful transforming force on the planet. I really believe that. Grace has the ability to change your heart. Sometimes we just stop short of forgiveness. Let me just tell you, it's not enough to just stop there, to just be forgiven. God wants us to be transformed. Did you know that? This is about the condition of your heart. This is about God changing our hearts. You can actually be forgiven. You can actually know that your sins are forgiven, that your salvation is secure, that you have a place in heaven and still struggle to forgive other people, because you can have all of that and not actually be transformed. And here's the thing, this gospel, it's a gospel of new things. The Apostle Paul said, behold, like all things are new. Jesus said, behold, all things are new. Paul said, if you're in Christ, you're a new creation. This is about you becoming new. This is about you having a new heart. This is about us being transformed in the inside so that we have a new capacity to forgive others, to extend grace to others, because this is what God has done for us. See, what was the unmerciful servant's problem? His problem was that he lacked gratitude for the grace of the king. Oh, he knew how much he had been forgiven, but it didn't change him. He was forgiven, but he wasn't changed. And so what happened? He went out and he forgot and he demanded someone else to pay back what they owed to him. And the whole point is not for us just to be forgiven, but for you and me to be changed by the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ, to have a heart change, to have a capacity change in our hearts that changes the way we relate to other people. Now, what do we do about this? What do we do with these people who are in that category of the unforgivable, that we just struggle to forgive? I know what you're thinking. I know some of you are like, well, Pastor, I know that's good. It's good for me to be reminded of all that I've been forgiven. It's good for me to be reminded of the cross, of the grace of God. But this is still hard for me. And for some of you, you might kind of wonder, like, what's really in it for me, you know, to forgive them? I mean, I've got what I need from God. Like, what's in it for me? Can we just be honest? We think that way sometimes. And there's a sense of, you don't understand, Pastor, you don't understand what they did to me. You don't understand how they still owe me. You don't understand how bad they hurt me. You don't understand what they did, how they cheated me. Maybe they actually owe you money. Maybe this is very real for you. This analogy works for you because, like, yeah, they still owe me. Like, what do I do when I know the reality of that? It's like a splinter in my mind, in my soul. I can't, like, let go of it. What do we do about it? Well, this is why Jesus' use of debt as an analogy for our offense is brilliant. This is brilliant, because in the financial world, when an institution loans someone money, they hold the debt, right? Come on, this is New York. We got some financially savvy people in the audience. When an organization like a bank or a mortgage company, whatever, lends a certain amount to someone, they hold the debt, which means they take the risk that the other person and the other party may default on the loan and not be able to pay it back. Now, usually they require collateral, right? Or they can repossess the asset, or certainly they're going to charge interest on the loan to protect themselves, but they hold the debt. And this is brilliant, because the biblical idea of forgiveness is release. In fact, the New American Standard Bible, that version says that the king released the servant from his debt. See, forgiveness isn't just giving up your right to get even. Forgiveness isn't just, you know, wishing that person well. It's the biblical idea of forgiveness. This is powerful. It's this idea of release, of releasing it. And that's why Jesus' analogy here of finances here, it's brilliant, because when you don't forgive, it's like you carry the debt. You carry the debt. You carry the burden of that offense. You carry the burden of that person and what they did to you. You carry that person around like a monkey on your back and you suffer under the weight of it. It's heavy for you. And over time, do you know what can happen? This can actually lead to bitterness. And bitterness can affect you. Bitterness can affect your mind. Bitterness can affect your identity. Bitterness can affect your heart. Bitterness can affect the condition of your soul. Bitterness can actually affect you physically, your physical health. I read an article just this past week from Johns Hopkins Medical, secular article, research on unforgiveness and how it can take its toll on us physically. It actually, research shows that unforgiveness can lead to heart problems, greater stress, higher blood pressure. It's amazing. It can take a physical toll on you. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You've experienced the stress of this. I heard a quote once that to hold a grudge is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. Think about that. Holding a grudge, unforgiveness, it's like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. Because you're thinking about it, you're going through it in your mind. Maybe you can't get back at that person, but in your mind, you can say whatever you want to him. Come on, you can curse that boss out to his face all up and down in your mind. You can call that person names. You can stick pins in them like a voodoo doll. Yeah, we do that. You can do that on the inside. That's your internal reality, right? And you think you're getting back at them. You think in the court of law and your little righteousness, you found them guilty in your mind and you're thinking about it, rehearsing it over and over again, but it's like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. All you're doing is hurting yourself. Bitterness takes its toll on you. And here's the truth. That person who hurt you, they've forgotten about you. They're living their life. They've forgotten the offense. That business partner who did you wrong, they're off doing business with somebody else. That person who broke your heart, they're in love happily with someone else. They're thinking about that person when they hear love songs and you're still thinking about them. Oh, come on, Jesus. It's about to get real in here this morning. They're not thinking about you. They're not stuck there. But what are you doing? You're replaying it. You're thinking about it on a regular basis. You're carrying it around like it's a part of you. Can I just tell you this morning, church, it's too heavy. It's too heavy a burden to bear. It's too much debt to carry. You got to release it. You got to let it go. You got to let it go. See, forgiveness is releasing the debt by God's grace. That's what forgiveness is. It's to release the debt by the grace of God. It's the grace of God that allows you to do it. The only way you can forgive the unforgivable is to tap into the bottomless well of God's grace. That's it, because grace covers the debt. There is a bottomless well of grace in God the Father that you and I, we can tap into it. We can build a reservoir of grace. We can build a well of grace so that when we run into offenses that are outside of our human capacity, we are now tapping into the well of God's grace in our lives. It's something supernatural that can happen. As we meditate on this, as we get a revelation of this, this is something the Holy Spirit wants to do deep in your heart. And it's that grace that allows you to cover an offense that normally you would not have been able to on your own. Forgiveness is releasing the debt by the grace of God. It's release. It does something in your life. This morning, I want to give you some practical steps for releasing and forgiving, because we know something spiritual has to happen. We know something has to happen in our hearts, but I want to give you some spiritual legs to walk this out, some feet to walk this out. How many of you know we got to cooperate with the grace of God? Sometimes we got to step out and say, okay, God, you're wanting to do something in me, but I'm going to step into that. And so I want to give you some practical steps for releasing and for forgiving. I want to invite you to take some notes, okay? Take out your note sheets that you got when you came in. If you got the Redemption app, you can take some notes in your phone, but put down some practical ideas today so we can just get this work underway and start cooperating with what God wants to do in our hearts. Here's the first thing. Pray for the person who hurt you. Pray for the person who hurt you. I know what you're thinking, Pastor Jeremy, that's really hard. That's the last thing I want to do. There's a lot of things I want to do to the person who hurt me. Pray wasn't at the top of my list. I get it. But how many of you know that whenever you do something that's difficult, that God wants you to do, maybe it doesn't align, maybe it's not according to your will, but you do something that God wants you to do according to his will. And when your will lines up with his will, that's how you grow spiritually. How many of you know that? See, we want spiritual growth to feel good all the time. Come on, that's why we love coming to church. Holy, there is none beside you. I got me some really good donuts this morning. I high five two or three people. I dropped my kids off for an hour. I don't have to see them. I'm so happy. Come on, Pastor Jim gave me a hug this morning. I bought a Redemption t-shirt. That's how we want spiritual growth to be all the time, don't we? It feels so good when it's like that. But how many of you know, like, if you want to get physically fit, going to the gym doesn't feel good, does it? Come on, I run. Sometimes I run the steps over at the Kensico Dam. It never feels good. Doesn't matter how many times I do it, I get to the top and I'm like, man, that hurt. My legs hurt. I'm winded. It never feels good, but it's good for me. Can I tell you, my kids don't like to eat their vegetables, but they need to. A lot of things that are good for you don't feel good. And I'm going to tell you, something powerful happens when you say, God, this is not according to my will. This isn't even something I would never naturally do on my own. But God, I choose to allow my will to align with your will. Look at what Jesus said, Luke chapter 6. He said, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Does that come natural to anybody in here? No, I didn't think so. Put your hand down. Don't act all spiritual here. Somebody's gonna slap your hand down. That doesn't come natural to any of us. That does not come natural to any of us. You know what it would require for you to do this? For God to do a supernatural work in your heart. For God to do a supernatural. So you just begin to practice it. This is the first place you can start because this is something you can actually do. Father, I release that person to you. Name them. There's something powerful in that. Father, I release that person. I release the offense. God, I give them to you. God, I don't pray harm on them. God, right now, all I can do is give them to you. You're the righteous judge. God, I put them in your hands. God, I ask that you would forgive them. I pray that they would never do what they did to me to someone else. Maybe you can just start there. And just begin to pray for them. And eventually you'll find that God will actually give you the capacity to actually bless that person and release them. Okay, so start there. Number one, we're gonna pray for the person who hurt us, and God's gonna begin to do a work in your heart. Number two, talking about some practical things that we can do to release and forgive. Number two, stop rehearsing the offense. Stop rehearsing the offense. You gotta let it go. You gotta stop replaying it in your mind. You gotta stop obsessing over it. You gotta stop nursing it and rehearsing it. You gotta stop talking about it. Now, there's a season when you need to talk about it. There's a season when you need to go to a good godly friend who's got good wisdom, who can help you through it, and you need to talk about it so you can find some healing. But there's a season in which you gotta stop talking about it at some point in time. You gotta let it go. I read this quote from a brilliant theologian and scholar, Lewis Smeets. He said, to forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that the prisoner was you. Wow. Is that powerful? To forgive is to set a prisoner free. You thought it was them. Oh, I'm doing this wonderful, holy, righteous thing. I'm letting this person go. Man, I'm so like Jesus. I'm so proud of myself. I get a smiley face sticker today. And then what you find out is when you release them, it ended up being you. You were the one who was bound up in all of this. You were the one who didn't have freedom. You were the one who was walking around carrying this thing that was too heavy for you. I want to tell you that forgiveness brings a sense of release, not just for them, because in releasing them, you release yourself. You release yourself from it. And so the second thing here is you got to stop rehearsing the offense. Here's the third idea. You got to embrace forgiveness as a process. Everybody say process. It's a process. Embrace forgiveness as a process. See, there's really no such thing as forgive and forget, is there? How many of you have discovered there's really no such thing as forgive and forget? We always remember, don't we? We always naturally remember what happened to us. And I've learned that forgiveness is a process. And the process is, the length of the process depends on how heavy the debt is. How great the offense was determines how long the process is, right? There's some small offenses we can get over. But in many cases, for those really deep hurts, you have to keep forgiving that person. You didn't just forgive them once, you gotta keep forgiving them. And every time you think about that person, you gotta forgive them. And every time the hurt bubbles back up to the surface, you have to forgive them. And every time you feel negative feelings, bitter feelings about that person, angry feelings, you gotta forgive them. How many times do you have to do it? Jesus, how many times do I have to forgive? As many times as it takes, Peter. You gotta keep forgiving. It's a process. And how do you know when the process is complete? Well, I think it's different for everybody. But what I've discovered in my own life is when I can think about that person, and the pain's no longer there, and the negative vibes are no longer there, and the anger's no longer there, I know God's done a work in my heart. Can I tell you, this isn't a Sunday school lesson for me. I lived this out a couple years ago. I had somebody hurt me deeply. Somebody I admired, somebody who was an influence in my life, someone I looked up to. They hurt me in a deep way, manipulated me, put me through it. And for a long time, whenever I thought about them, it hurt so much. There was anger, there was resentment, even a little bitterness. And what I learned is I had to keep forgiving them. The debt was too heavy. The burden was too heavy to carry. It was too much for me. I had to let go of it. And I made a choice to release it. Can I tell you, some choices in life that you make, They don't just determine where you end up. They determine the kind of person you become in the process. And I had to determine, I'm going to let go of this. But here's what I found. I had to keep forgiving over and over and over again. And you know what eventually happened? Now when I think about that person, all I remember is the good times that we had together. The good things that that person did for me, the way they blessed me. You know, most people, there's a little bit of good and a little bit of bad, right? Yeah, don't get me wrong. I know there's some people in that category of, Pastor, you don't even know what they did to me. There's nothing good. But most people who hurt us, there was some good times with them. There was something good that they did for you. They were good to you in some way. Now when I think about that person, I know that I've forgiven them because all that's left over is the love and all of the things that they did to hurt me, they're gone. That's how you know the process is complete. Now, there are some people you gotta love from a distance, don't get me wrong. They're too toxic. You gotta love them from a place of safety, but they no longer have a grip on you. The pain no longer runs you. It no longer determines the condition of your heart. And so how do we forgive the unforgivable? How do we forgive these offenses that land in the category of unforgivable, those that are outside of our capacity to forgive? Here's how: we have to get a greater revelation of the grace of God. Oh, there's some practical things we have to do, but it starts with God doing a work in our hearts. You and me getting a greater revelation of the grace and the love and the mercy of a God who has so loved you. It's us getting a greater capacity to imagine the mountain of sin, the mountain of debt, that in a stroke, just Jesus going to the cross. In one moment, we placed our faith in him and it was gone. It was forgiven. We got to go back to this, knowing that our daily sins are forgiven. Because here's why we have to get a hold of that. The person who hurt you, in a sense, really does owe you, don't they? That dad who walked out on you when you were a kid should have been there. That ex who broke your heart shouldn't have treated you that way. That boss who passed over you for that promotion that you earned shouldn't have done that to you. That friend who should have been loyal, who stabbed you in your back, they should have been there for you. What was done to you was wrong, and I'm sorry. And in a sense, they really do owe you. But the only way you find freedom and healing for your soul is to release it by the grace of God. That's where the healing is. Say, God, when I think about it, they owe me. God, when I think about what they did, they should not have done that. God, when I think about it, they should have been there. They should have treated me better. They shouldn't have said that about me. They shouldn't have cheated me that way. But God, I release it to you. It's too much for me, God. I give it to you by your grace. As you released me from my sins, God, I release them from the debt. And here's the thing, we can't do it out of our ability. We can't do it out of our own ability. We forgive out of a heart changed by grace. We forgive because we could never imagine God not forgiving us. Oh, come on. This is a work that God wants to do in your heart, church. It'll change your life. It'll change your relationships. It'll change the condition of your soul. It'll affect your well-being. It'll affect your health. We got to get a hold of this. So why don't you stand with me this morning? We're going to pray. In just a moment, we're going to receive communion and the worship team's coming back, but we're going to pray into this for just a moment. I want you just to stay focused in prayer, and we're going to do a couple things. Here's what we're going to do. First of all, we're going to pray for that very thing, that God, you would give us a greater revelation of your love. God, give us a greater revelation of your grace and how much we've been forgiven. And then we're going to, by the grace of God, do some releasing. And some of you in here, you need to actually name somebody's name under your breath, okay? As we pray together, maybe there's a few people's names that come to mind. Right now, there's somebody you're thinking of. It's very real for you. You need to today, with the help of the Holy Spirit, by God's grace, say, Lord, I release that person and that offense to you, and watch the freedom and the healing that begins to come to your heart today. Would you pray with me? Come on, let's lean into this. God wants to do something special right now. So Holy Spirit moment. Father, we come to you. Thankful for your grace. Thankful for your love today, God. Lord, we're reminded today of the mountain of debt that we have for our sins that has been forgiven by your grace, by your son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we're asking you today to give us a greater revelation of your love for us. Give us a greater revelation of your grace over our lives so that we can extend it to others, God, to know how well we've been loved, God. And now, Father, with your help, we want to release, God. We want to release some of you right now, there's somebody's name you need to name. Lord, we release that person to you. God, we give them to you. God, we trust that you are a righteous and good God. You're a righteous judge. God, we entrust them into your hands. Lord, we admit we don't have the ability to do it. We don't have the capacity to forgive that offense. God, when we think about that person, it hurts. When we think about what they did to us, we're just reminded of how unfair it was. But Lord, today, we release them to you, God. We give them to you. God, the burden's too heavy for us, God. The debt's too much. We give them to you. Now, Father, bring healing to somebody's heart this morning. Bring healing to our hearts today, a sense of freedom, of joy, of wholeness today, of peace. Lord, today we choose to see that person the way you see them, God. Give us your eyes to see others the way you do. And may we walk in freedom and in wholeness. Father, do it in each and every person in this place. We pray. If you agree with me, would you say in Jesus' name, amen. Let it be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.